Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Killer Charm by Avery Flynn, narrated by Wesley Chavon. Chapter 1. The most beautiful makeup on a woman is passion, but cosmetics are easier to buy. Yves Saint Laurent. Drea Sanford didn't do the burbs. She didn't do backyard barbecues with screaming kids and romping dogs. And she most assuredly did not do Cam Hardy, at least not in public. In private, that boy was as hot in bed as his swagger promised, and as long as no one knew a damn thing about it, she'd keep riding him to Happy Town. At least that had been the plan. But here she was, across the Harbor City Bridge in Waterburg, sitting on an outdoor swing with a paper plate filled with potato salad, chips, and a burnt-to-a-crisp hot dog on her lap. She held a red plastic cup full of cheap beer, and the oh-so-full-of-himself James Bond wannabe's lips were locked onto hers in front of God and everyone, like their friends-with-benefits agreement was common knowledge instead of one of her most guarded secrets. Cam had been sniffing after her since the day they'd met nearly a year ago, and she'd cut him off at the knees every time. But a sex-positive girl like herself could only deny her own lust for the hotness that was Cam Hardy for so long, and she'd given in a few months ago, but only if he agreed to keep it just between them. No one needed to be in her business or realize that she'd fallen for the cocky superstud of Harbor City. But now he was kissing her in Sylvie's backyard in front of everyone. There was no way around it. She had to cut off her secret lover, just as soon as she could find the willpower to end this kiss. Arrogant Lothario or not, Cam knew how to kiss. Strong, confident, tempting as all hell. He teased her just the way he knew she liked, making everything below her waist warm, wet, and tingly. The sound of laughter broke through the lusty haze surrounding them and brought her back to reality. As much as she liked his mouth and all the things he could do with it, he'd crossed the line by kissing her in public. She'd grown up with her personal business being everyone's business, and she'd rather go makeup-free forever than go through that again. Anyway, she didn't do second chances. Life's a bitch that way. And didn't she know it from personal experience? She pushed against his chest, honed to a solid muscular mass by long hours in the gym, and God knew what else, and got an inch of summer air between them. "What's wrong, babe?" Cam rubbed light circles on her bare thigh, just north of her knee. Poor boy didn't have a clue. He'd made a promise, broken it, and she was done. She knocked his hand away from her skin. "If anyone saw that, I'm going to punch you in the nuts." Drea did a quick sweep of Sylvie's and Tony's backyard. Even from their semi-secluded spot in the yard's back corner, someone could have spotted them. The place was packed with people here to celebrate the couple's engagement. Her best friend's dad stood behind the fake tiki bar, mixing sangria tasty enough to make people temporarily forget the fact that it was strong enough to strip paint. Tony manned the grill as various members of his family offered unsolicited advice on when to flip the burgers. Okay, maybe no one had seen the kiss. She could almost convince herself of it, except Sylvie and Ryder were giggling by the food table, never making eye contact with Drea. That was all she needed to know. Her besties hadn't missed a damn second of her unexpected kiss with Cam. Her cheeks burned, and she downed the rest of her beer. "If anyone saw what?" Cam winked and snatched a chip off her plate. "Saw me kiss you? Or saw you kiss me back?" "You knew the deal. No going public."
"Who cares if anyone sees us? Let them talk."
The truth smacked her in the face. Was that your plan all along? To make our little fling public? She nearly threw the plate at him.
"Babe." He laughed loud enough that heads turned in their direction. "You know I don't plan.
You should, because this little harebrained scheme just costs you a chance at ever getting between my sweet thighs again.
Why's that?
He asked. Because you're good in bed, but not good enough that I want to be known as just one more conquest for the man who accounted for most of Trojan's business in Harbor City. My private business is my business. Cam toyed with the purple strap of her tank top.
What's wrong? Your ego can't take everyone finding out I've finally caught you.
He leaned back against the back of the faded double swing, his 6-foot, 5-inch frame thick with muscles, the better to hold up his massive ego, taking up most of the space. The damn thing was so big that even after a year of knowing each other, he still didn't understand that presenting an impenetrable, no-one-can-hurt-me facade to the world was the biggest rule in her life. Really, it was her only rule. And letting everyone know that she'd almost fallen for a playboy like Cam, who left hearts shattered in his wake on a daily basis, shattered that image to smithereens. He chuckled and relaxed back in the seat until his thigh lined up against hers, as if he had every right to jangle her nerves so thoroughly. She got out of the seat and turned around to face him, but she was lost for words when she realized standing up had just given him a better view. His green-eyed gaze took in her entire body. Then he grinned, pissing her off, and drenching her panties at the same damn time. If anyone could carry off absolutely wicked and totally charismatic at the same time, it was Cam. She itched to run her fingers through his thick mass of tousled honey blonde hair. His murky green eyes were full of dark promise, the kind she knew he could deliver. And then there was his body. She could eat jello off of his tanned washboard abs, and the gelatin wouldn't have the courage to jiggle. Being near him was like standing at the edge of the subway platform as the train whooshed by, exhilarating, dangerous, and addicting on a completely visceral level. But he'd broken her rule, the one thing she'd asked him not to do, and he'd gone and done it anyway. She wasn't sure whether knowing he'd done it without thinking made the situation worse or just sad. But she couldn't keep seeing him if she couldn't trust him to keep this a secret. Hell, after that kiss, there was no secret. Cover blown. Everyone knew. Time to cut her losses. Breaking it off now was the smart plan.
I know what it is.
He stood up and closed the distance between them.
You're embarrassed because you think someone saw your tongue push its way into my mouth. Accidentally, I'm sure. And heard that sweet, soft moan of pleasure.
She pushed her hand against his chest and forced him back. Get over yourself, pretty boy. He didn't even blink at the insult.
You want me. I want you. The sex is amazing. Why are you fighting so damn hard against letting people know we're together?
Because we're not. She had no plans to trot down the well-worn path to Cam Hardy's bed again.
You knew the rules when this thing started. No going public.
His gaze pinned her to the spot, and he looked at her like she was the only woman in the world.
Look, babe, give me another chance.
It made her mouth go dry and other places get wet. They'd had one hell of a wham-bam thank-you-ma'am twisting of the sheets. But they'd known from the start this was temporary. She'd known it, he'd known it. They'd agreed to keep it secret. So why was he acting like it meant anything to him? She'd needed a little stress relief. Preferably in the form of a hot guy who'd given her 4 orgasms in one night. Cam was hot, talented, and not into commitments. But he had just hung her dirty laundry out for the world to see. She'd sworn she'd never go through that again, and she wouldn't. Time to end this little charade and get back to Harbor City and the bitch of a client she had to deal with before the arts gala tonight. Natasha Orton wasn't the worst beauty client she'd ever had to dust with setting powder from her makeup kit of wonders, but
She was damn close. It's over.
Drea took a single step away from him. He moved lightning fast to get in front of her, his bulk blocking her view of the rest of the group.
Don't go away mad, babe. Let me make it up to you. Tonight. My place. No one has to know.
She tossed her cup and plate into the trash can. Charming. He threw up his hands in frustration.
Around most people, I am.
And I'm not most people. Pushing her point home, she traced a finger across his broad, sinewy shoulders and used the softest hint of pressure to nudge him out of her way so she could march across the grass to say goodbye to her best friends. You should remember that.
As if I could ever forget.
He finally stood to the side, letting her pass. Her step faltered, but she kept moving forward. She knew better than to show even the slightest weakness. Cam Hardy watched, slack-jawed, as Drea strutted away as hot and untouchable as the sun. His standard operating procedure was to be the one making a quick escape without a second look back. Drea had shredded that SOP with her hot pink fingernails. He was damned lucky she hadn't used those talons on him. On second thought, he always enjoyed it when she did. What he'd give to feel her nails scraping down his chest, her dark brown skin pressed against him. Everything south of his belt buckle went from 0 to 60 in a heartbeat. He sank his hand into the nearby cooler. The ice cooled down his hand, but the rest of him remained hot and ready. What the fuck was he doing wrong? He hadn't been this clueless since he'd first realized there was a difference between boys and girls. Sweet-talking women had always been easy, a skill that had served him well in his early years on his own when he needed a place to stay for the night, or an alibi. As the kid on the street up to no good, he'd usually needed both.
Dude, she just sank your battleship.
Alex Lee, one of two new hires at Maltese Security, stopped at Cam's side but kept his gaze locked on Drea as she said her goodbyes.
That was like watching the Titanic go down, but without that annoying song.
How this asshat had made it through the pre-hire personality screening was a mystery.
Fuck you. My lip-reading skills are off. But going by body language, I'd say that's exactly what she told you.
Alex crossed his arms, his gaze still tracking Drea's progress across the yard to the side gate that led to the driveway. The other man didn't leer exactly, but Cam didn't have a bit of doubt about the thoughts playing out in Alex's head right now. And that made him want to pound the other guy's face until his eyes were swollen shut. Just because it was a fling didn't mean he wasn't possessive of Drea. Years ago, when he was still hanging on the bottom rung of a street crew, he would have let the other guy know as much. But this little puke stain wasn't going to fuck things up for him now. He'd come home to the last city in the world he'd ever wanted to return to, so he could pay an old debt. His teenage years had been a bitch, and if it hadn't been for the judge, he'd either be dead or in jail. So when the old man had said he needed a favor, Cam had dropped everything and come home to Harbor City.
Is there a point to this chat?
He finished the last third of his beer in one long pull. Alex shrugged.
Just my enjoyment.
He crumbled the beer can and tossed the squashed aluminum ball into the recycling bin.
You're a real son of a bitch that way. No doubt.
Alex took a swig of beer, his eyes never leaving Drea's ass as she walked out of the gate.
Ever think you're just not her type?
What a total tool.
And I suppose you are. Yeah, I am.
Alex turned and stepped into Cam's personal space like a frat boy hungry for a fight.
Trust me, she can see through your bullshit from a mile away.
He didn't give a millimeter.
Don't hold back. I never do, unlike you.
I've been reading the old case files.
You're good, but you're a loose cannon, and you don't play well with others. It shows in your results.
A familiar coldness spread outward from his stomach. It used to be all he ever felt. They'd called him the Iceman for good reason. But this prick didn't know any of that.
You don't know jack shit about me.
Ah, yes. The mysterious pseudo-military organization you were with before Maltese.
Alex flipped his empty can into the trash, and the move brought him toe-to-toe with Cam.
Being a hired thug really doesn't do much to build up a resume. Add to that your criminal record, and I'm surprised you even got an investigator's license. What did you do? Sleep your way into the approval.
Everything froze. The air went from summer's heat to the polar vortex's frigidity in an instant. All of the barbecue's noise faded into the background, and Cam was in the Iceman's kill zone.
You'd better shut your mouth before I shut it for you.
Alex puffed up his chest.
I'd like to see you try.
Hey, morons.
Ryder pushed her way between them, managing to stomp a foot down on both of their shoes and jam an elbow in each of their ribs.
May I remind you, this is a family barbecue with kids and others who aren't used to dealing with your daily bitch fits. Now, make nice before I throat punch both of you.
Cam rubbed the spot on his fourth rib where Ryder had elbowed him. He'd find a bruise there in the morning. If it had been anyone else, Cam would have returned the favor. But aside from not wanting to ruin the barbecue for everyone, Ryder was one of the few women who'd rather try to kick his ass in the ring rather than kiss it outside of the ropes.
So much for making lovey-dovey cow eyes with Devin mellowing you out.
She got him a don't fuck with me glare. I'm serious. It's not the time or the place for you two to measure dicks.
Alex held up his hands and took a step back.
You're right. You've got nothing to worry about when it comes to me.
Cam fisted his hands before the urge to knock that smarmy grin right off the asshole's face took over. The other man smirked and let out a laugh before pivoting on his heel and sauntering off across the crowded backyard. Ryder leaned over.
You know his mom was a prosecutor, at least until some of Diamond Tommy's people got to her. They found the body last year. Not surprisingly, he's got a chip on his shoulder the size of the Grand Canyon. Once he gets to know you,
he'll still be an asshole.
She chuckled.
Probably. But being a douchebag and being right weren't mutually exclusive.
Do you think he's on to something when it comes to Drea?
He hated himself for being such a total wuss and even asking the question. But he had to know.
Ryder sighed and tucked her short hair behind her ear. It's not my story to tell. Let's just say the truth is always more complicated than it first appears.
Complicated women and complicated truths. He'd spent his life avoiding both. But Drea Sanford had him reconsidering and wondering what it would be like if he were a different kind of man.
Chapter 2.
Love of beauty is taste. The creation of beauty is art. Ralph Waldo Emerson. If the true sign of being rich was to never have to ask how much something cost, then Drea's clients had never uttered those words in their entire lives. She was one of Harbor City's most sought-after makeup artists, and it's most expensive, but worth every penny. She walked up the stone steps to the 5-story brownstone that took up half a block of Harbor City's most expensive real estate. The place looked so different from Tony and Sylvie's Waterberg home. It wasn't just the size. It was the whole atmosphere. Her client, Natasha Orton, kept the brownstone's vibe as icy as the pale blue walls in each one of the 20-something rooms. The thick front door swung open, revealing the Orton's butler, Fergus. From the bland expression to the steel gray of close-cropped hair, he looked every inch the English butler. Until he smiled,
Then it wasn't hard to imagine the Harbor City heartbreaker he must have been 20 years ago. Drea had almost fired temperamental Natasha as a client a million times, but the thought of not getting to joke around with Fergus kept her coming back, armed with a 10-pound makeup case and skin thicker than the oldest elephant.
Here, let me help.
Fergus took her makeup case, carried it inside to the small parlor off the hallway, and set it on a table. He popped open the snaps and lifted the lid, revealing brushes, lipsticks, foundations, powders, and all the other tools of the trade. He closed his eyes and inhaled a deep breath.
I just love that smell. I wonder why that is.
He held up a tube of Chanel's Rouge Coco lipstick and pearl, as if it contained the answers to life's great mysteries. Drea rolled her eyes and started to unpack her gear. She'd need her sensitive skin cleanser and philosophy moisturizer right away. Because whenever you smell it, you know she's on her way out. He pursed his lips and narrowed his eyes, but he could never hold the pose for long. She counted. 1, 2, 3. The mask cracked, and a wide smile broke his offended look into pieces. They could laugh when it was just the two of them, but the reality wasn't nearly as funny. Natasha was an aging trophy wife with a mean streak 4 times as wide as her size 0 Donna Karan wrap dress. Thank God that wasn't the case with all of her clients, or Drea would be stabbing her eyes out with her tweezers. What's the number today?
10?
Fergus asked. Drea nodded her head and set out the NARS Skin Smoothing Prep Primer, RCMA Foundation, Attempt 2 Pro SB Concealer Wheel, Bronzer, NARS Blush in Orgasm, Highlighter, and Oil Control, perfect for Natasha's combination skin and tan complexion. He tapped the lipstick against his chin and glanced up at the ivory inlaid ceiling.
A solid 15.
Perfect. She rolled her head from side to side, mentally reaching for that little piece of zen, determined to stay just out of her grasp. She let out a low whistle and dropped a sealed bag of makeup application sponges on the table. Goody. She's not still giving you a hard time about having to give up her pet ferret because of your allergy, is she?
Luckily for my ability to breathe. No, that thing is off living out its days on a farm somewhere.
He leaned forward conspiratorially.
However, she met with a lawyer yesterday.
Really? An emotional client was always a nightmare. Tears and mascara didn't mix. Mr. O stepping out again? The butler raised one thick, bushy black brow.
There are photos.
That had to hurt. Natasha might be a grade-A bitch, but no one should have to see their significant other getting their cheat on. Drea grabbed her bottle of Urban Decay makeup setter and put it next to the loose powder. She was going to need both tonight to keep the chic but high-end slutty look Natasha preferred for events like tonight's gala.
Hell hath no fury.
Fergus held out the lipstick to her. The silver tube shining against the soft white glove, Natasha insisted her servants wear.
As if she needed an excuse.
She took the tube, Natasha's favorite shade, and put it in front of the other lipsticks. The last thing Drea wanted to deal with today was a client pissed off because she had to fumble around in her case for something. All Drea wanted was to finish this last job, go home, and binge-watch Supernatural until she could guarantee she'd have vivid dreams of Dean Winchester and all the things she'd do to him in the back seat of that shiny black Impala. It was the only thing that would keep her thinking about another non-fictional hottie who acted first and thought later. She was going to miss the 2 orgasms a night he guaranteed, whenever she and Cam ended up in bed, or against the wall, or that one time in the restaurant bathroom. The unmistakable click-clack of stilettos against marble filtered into the room, fast-paced, unhesitating, and on a mission. no doubt echoing the owner's mood. Drea took a deep breath and clipped her own professional mask into place. By the time she exhaled, she'd locked down her personal loose ends. She was cool, confident, and utterly unflappable. Exactly what she wanted people to see.
"You're late."
Natasha swept into the room. Her Stepford-level assistant, the perfect two steps behind her Christian Louboutin stilettos. And poof, the spark of sympathy Drea had felt for her client fizzled out. She picked up an eyebrow pencil to give herself something to wrap her fingers around, besides her client's neck. "My calendar says 4 p.m., and it's 10 till."
"Well, your calendar is wrong. Or do you question that as well?"
Natasha glared down at her much shorter assistant, who managed to cringe and sidle closer to her boss at the same time.
"I swear the incompetence is astounding, but it's too late to hire someone who can keep their shit together. So you'll have to do for tonight."
The eyebrow pencil cracked in Drea's hand. Fergus stepped forward, drawing his employer's attention.
"Would you care for champagne, Mrs. Orton?"
"Lots of it," she responded.
"Right away, ma'am."
He nodded his head in the perfect act of deference and strode out the door. Natasha settled down into the chair and shook her head so her long blonde hair fell in a perfect wheat-colored waterfall behind her shoulders.
"Julia, show her the dress."
The assistant flipped her tablet around, revealing a floor-length black Alexander McQueen gown. The simple crepe material and straight strapless neckline increased the drama of the flared, ornate, gold-beaded peplum and the floor-sweeping hem. This wasn't a dress for a 20-something ingenue. This was a $7,000 badass dress for a grown woman who was about to cut her cheating husband off at the knees, in public. Natasha Orton was a giant pain in the butt. However, the challenge of making Natasha's face go with the dress wasn't one Drea could walk away from. The transformation from California blonde to Harbor City ice queen would be too much fun. Drea looked from the tablet to Natasha. What could be the most dramatic options for a society event? Too much, and Natasha would look attention-hungry. A true no-no among the elite. Too little, and she'd fade into the background, which would be a total disservice to the killer dress. The best options came down to a smoky eye or a femme fatale lip. "Do you want to highlight your eyes or your mouth?"
"Which one says, 'You're a cheating asshole who should have insisted on a prenup?"
Despite knowing better, Drea couldn't help but like Natasha just a little bit more at that moment. Definitely the eyes. 25 minutes and two smoky eyes later, Drea was in the zone. She stroked the precision lip brush across the tip of Natasha's preferred pale pink lipstick. The innocence of the color would balance out Natasha's cut-a-bitch eye makeup. She brushed the color across her client's parted lips before handing her a tissue. "Black, please." Natasha stared at the painted lips on the tissue.
"My lips feel weird."
The lipstick's infused with a lip plumper and sometimes has a tingling effect. Drea applied the second coat and took several steps back to take in the effect of the finished makeup. The combination of dusky black with traces of gold smudges drew attention to Natasha's hardened gaze. She'd taken her client from trophy wife to badass. Damn, she was good.
"Perfect.
I'll be the judge of that." Natasha picked up the small mirror and held it in front of her. The heavy metal mirror shook in her tender grasp. Staring at her reflection, Natasha blinked slowly before the left side of her face slumped like deflated souffle. The mirror slid from her hand and clanged against the teak floor.
"I don't feel well."
She held her head between her palms and rocked back and forth, emitting a sound that was too high-pitched for a moan and too quiet to be keening. Her long blonde hair fell around her face like a curtain as tremors shook her long-limbed frame. heart hammering in her ears, Drea dropped her tools and rushed to Natasha's side.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?